I invite you to open with me to the book of Colossians once more. We've been camped in the book of Colossians for a few weeks now, and there's still so much more we can pull from this book. We're making our way through this short epistle verse by verse in a series of messages we've entitled Wrapped Up in Jesus. Now, while the overall theme of this book is certainly the preeminence of Christ, there are many other themes tied to that overarching theme of being wrapped up in Jesus. And so this morning, I want to focus our attention really on only three verses. In Colossians chapter 1, in verse 12, 13, and 14. Now, as we remind ourselves and back up to where we've been, just prior to these verses we're about to read together, Paul sets forth a prayer for the Colossians. He begins that prayer in verse 9 and travels down to verse 11. And now in verses 12 through 14, he writes, giving thanks. His words answer all we need to know about the origin, ramifications, and display of true thanksgiving. Paul is really saying this as we read these verses. Being reminded of all the riches we have in Christ is a sweet reminder to give thanks to the Lord in and through all things. And when we say all things, we include even difficult things like the pandemic we are now faced with. And so this morning, in these three verses, we are going to learn from Paul how it is that we ought to be giving thanks. We begin our reading in Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 12, where Paul says, "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." A.J. Jacobs is an acclaimed American journalist, author, and lecturer. He is best known for writing what he calls to be lifestyle experiments. For these works, Jacobs will actually place himself in the lifestyle of whatever topic he happens to be writing about. For example, in his book, The Know-It-All, he read an entire set of encyclopedias in 1 week to get to know it all. He placed himself in that circumstance. Among his unique quests, he once embraced the original version of the Thanksgiving. And he placed himself in that quest of his lifestyle journalistic settings in what it would have been like to be at that first Thanksgiving. He came to realize it was quite a celebration, with games, riddles, races, contests, and foods that would have been considered delicacies in that time, foods like eel and lobster. Most profound to Jacobs during this was the realization that this time of immense gratitude and celebration in 1621 followed a year of immense pain and suffering. In fact, the year prior to 1621, 48 of the original 102 pilgrims had died as a result of many different ailments. Scurvy and exposure had claimed half of those who had came with them to this new land. Yet the pilgrims still rejoiced. And when they rejoiced with great gusto. A.J. Jacobs then concluded this: if the pilgrims could appreciate life amid such chaos and uncertainty, I could give thanks for all the things in my relatively cushy life. Have you ever considered Thanksgiving? Perhaps the best way to do so is to consider your prayer life. So many times we spend praying, asking God for things, instead of thanking him for the good things that he's done. You know, if we consider Thanksgiving in our own lives, if we're honest, we must ask, do I offer thanksgiving for the benefits I have because I am in Christ? Charles Spurgeon astutely said, "It ought to be as habitual to us to give thanks as it is to ask." Thanksgiving ought to be a part of our regular lives as believers. It ought to flow right through us into our prayer lives. It ought to be the ebb and flow of our daily routines. Offering thanksgiving, no matter the circumstance, ought to be the chief characteristic of the believer. And yet, so often we fail to give God thanks that he deserves. We can get so consumed in our own selfishness that we forget to thank God at all. But we need to look beyond ourselves and give thanks to God. The psalmist would say in Psalm 107, verse 21, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness, for His wonderful works to the children of men." Paul would sum it up to the Thessalonians this way when he said, "Give thanks in all circumstances." Paul is saying there is no time or circumstance where thanksgiving is not necessary. You are always to be thankful. As believers, we ought to be known for our thanksgiving, since we have so much to be thankful for. Giving thanks ought to be just as essential to the Christian walk as air is to our physical walk. I've always wondered how God's popularity index amongst Christians would stack up if Zogby polled the Lord's likability every month based on the thanksgiving offered to God by Christians. King David wrote in the 35th Psalm, "I will thank you in the great congregation. In the mighty throng I will praise you." There is something about a grateful heart that brings pleasure and satisfaction. And this morning I want us to explore together this great topic of giving thanks. And I do so without ignoring the fact that these are difficult, perilous times that we live in. I am recording this giving thanks message to an empty auditorium, which is very unlike what we're used to. I don't know when our country will reopen, and I don't know what our economy will look like afterwards. And yet in the midst of all of that, Paul says, we have so very much to give thanks. A.J. Jacobs explored that first Thanksgiving by means of a journalist. He put himself in the shoes of those first pilgrims and sought to find out what Thanksgiving was like for them. And so too today, I want us to explore giving thanks from the book of Colossians by taking a little bit of journalistic license and asking some questions, the whos, whats, and whys and hows of Thanksgiving. Let's begin by asking why. Why should I give thanks? Scripture places great significance on the practice of true thanksgiving. Throughout the Bible, we find that thanksgiving is not a suggestion but a command. God wants us to give thanksgiving, and He commands us to be thankful. He doesn't need anything from us, but He does expect us to respond to Him in thanksgiving. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 says, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving." 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18 says, "In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you." 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, "I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving thanks be made for all men." The practice of giving thanks to the Lord is clearly God's divine will. Rest assured that God is pleased when we do what He desires in this regard, in this matter. Rendering thanks to God is not an occasional act of God's people, but rather ought to be the regular steps of their spiritual walk. And so Paul says, giving thanks in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12. The word give, used in regard to giving thanks, is in the present tense in its original language. That suggests that thanksgiving ought to be the ongoing, continual behavior in the lives of God's people. Yet too often, too quickly, people resort back to being ingrates rather than greats. God wants us to be grateful people. Warren Wiersbe would say this, When a Christian finds himself in a difficult situation, he should immediately give thanks to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ by the power of the Spirit to keep his heart from complaining and fretting. The devil moves in when a Christian starts to complain, but thanksgiving in the Spirit defeats the devil and glorifies the Lord. Wiersbe was correct. The Christian must understand the significance God places on thanksgiving. And ingratitude, quite frankly, is the mark of the ungodly. Paul would say in Romans chapter 1, verse 21, "When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were they thankful." Those who lack in the grace of thanksgiving lack in grace, period. There are times when we feel we can't seem to do anything to give grateful thanksgiving. We feel as though we're squeezed in on every side. We feel as though the pressures of the world are mounting. And we're like, I don't know what's going on. There's nothing worth thanking God for. And yet Paul says, there's always something worth giving thanks to God for. If you are in Christ, that alone is worth thanksgiving. And in order to adequately and appropriately answer that question, we have to ask ourselves, am I offering thanksgiving to God? And naturally, the first place to ask these series of journalistic questions is, why do I do this? Why should I do this? And the answer comes, you should do this because giving thanks ought to be the ongoing, continual, normal practice of the Christian. But we must also ask then, who should I give thanks? Thanksgiving requires an object. There needs to be a thanker and a thankee. In our text this morning, Paul is still praying for the Colossians. He is praying that they would give thanks, and he prays that they would give thanks unto someone. Giving thanks unto the Father. Paul prays that we would give thanks to God. There is an essential ingredient. The thankee is giving thanks to God because of who he is, because of what he has accomplished, because of what his word has given to us, because of how he has answered prayers. Thanksgiving is directed to God because he is the ultimate source of every blessing. Yet thanking God is probably the appropriate object of our thanksgiving that is most often ignored in our culture today. Have you ever noticed how amusing it is to see how people treat our national holiday of Thanksgiving every November? You turn on your television and you see people stumbling all over themselves to explain feelings of gratitude without ever mentioning the object of that gratitude. We are told to feel grateful, but grateful to no one and nothing in particular. Just this nebulous feeling of gratitude without any object for which to direct our gratitude. How comical an idea. How foolish. How ungodly. What a commentary on Romans 1:21 and the wicked man. What an indictment on the foolish, darkened heart of men who refuse to acknowledge God even with blessing. One person noted, a bad moment for an atheist is when he feels grateful and has no one to thank. God is the ultimate object of our thanks. We owe praise and thanksgiving to God first. And so David would say, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. For the Lord is God and a great king above all gods. The single greatest act of worship you can render to God is to thank him. It's the epitome of worship because through gratitude we affirm God as the ultimate source of both trial and blessing and acknowledge our humble acceptance of both. Do I offer thanksgiving for the benefits I have because I am in Christ? This is such an important question for the child of God to consider. Paul is praying that we give thanks. And we've already explored why and to whom we should be giving thanks. And yet so often we fail to give thanks. We fail to give God the thanks he deserves. And giving thanks ought to be just as essential to the Christian walk as air is to the physical walk. But how should I give thanks? The manner of our thanksgiving is of utmost concern to us as well. And here we run into an interesting grammatical question. Are the last two words of verse 11 meant to be with verse 11, or are they to be the first two words of verse 12? So the words in question grammatically are the words with joy. As you know, in the Greek, there are no verse divisions. And even originally, there were no punctuation. It's a bit difficult to say then. Where does with joy fit? And different scholars have thought this about different ways. They may say, well, with joy may modify patience and long-suffering, as we noted even in our last sermon in Colossians. Here, the idea is that we are to be reminded that even in the midst of trials, we are to take those trials with joy. Just as James would say, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. But others would say, no, with joy may modify giving thanks. And here we are reminded to be joyfully giving thanks to God who has granted us salvation. Actually, F.F. Bruce stands alone in suggesting that with joy may modify nothing. In other words, we are to be marked by three things: patience, endurance, joy, and thanksgiving. This is the least likely of possibilities, so less likely it's hardly referenced by anybody other than F.F. Bruce. But scholars are indeed split between the first two options. And the majority of commentators I consulted seem to suggest that these last two words of verse 11 ought to go at the beginning of verse 12. In other words, we are to be joyfully giving thanks. A spirit of thanksgiving is always the mark of a joyous Christian. You say, well, Pastor Caleb, isn't all thanksgiving joyful? No. Recognizing that thanksgiving is a command, we may be sure to formulate our services in such a way that we fill them with thanksgiving. Recognizing as Christians that in our prayer we ought to be giving thanks, we may formulate our prayers in such a way that we give thanks, but we are doing so only out of rote repetition to a command we read in Scripture, and not out of a heart that is joyous. It is possible to offer the fruits of thanksgiving, but not do so out of a heart filled with joy. And so Paul says, we ought to give thanks to God with joy. May we not only express thanksgiving as we ought, but may we do so with joy. That's God-honoring thanksgiving. That is the only true and appropriate way to give thanks. As the psalmist would say, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and with his courts be with praise, be thankful unto him, and bless his name. We should joyfully give thanks to God, and I am convinced that the more we understand the gospel, the more we will enjoy thanksgiving. If one would give me a dish of sand today and tell me that there are particles of iron in this sand, I might look with my clumsy fingers, unable to detect the particles of iron in the sand. But let me take a magnet and sweep the magnet over the sand, and I would begin to draw out the invisible particles of iron that are there in that dish of sand. So it is that the unthankful heart, like my finger in the sand, discovers no mercies. But let the thankful heart sweep through the day, and as the magnet finds the iron in the sand, so it will find God's heavenly blessings. Are you giving thanks? What I'm asking now is this a normal part of who you are? So many are like me, trying to fumble through the sands of life without the magnet of thanksgiving, finding no blessing and no joy. Frankly, as people living in a broken, fallen planet, it's a whole lot easier to focus on the negative than it is on the positive. I naturally, as a human, resort to pessimism than optimism. Yes, some people will say, I'm an optimist and you're a pessimist, but what I found in experience is that all of us are naturally pessimists more than we are optimists. And so Paul says, do I offer thanksgiving? Thanksgiving is more than just a passing emotion to be checked off on a holiday. To the Christian, thanksgiving is as important as the very air that they breathe. So how are you doing so far? Do you really recognize why this is important? Have you sought to grapple with the who of thanksgiving? That God is that who? And how about the manner that you are giving thanksgiving? Is it with joy? So often we fail to give God the thanks he deserves, and so we've sought to explore by just asking questions. Why and who and what and what? What should I give thanks for? This moves now to the ultimate reason for thanksgiving. And as we move to the ultimate reason for thanksgiving, we move forward in our text into verse 12, where Paul says that God hath made us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. This speaks, of course, of the great gift of salvation. The description of salvation then continues on into verses 13 and 14, where Paul says, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins." There's even more to it than just these verses. Other descriptors of our salvation are sprinkled through the remainder of the chapter in Colossians. In fact, this must have been chiefly on Paul's mind as he wrote Colossians, because even more descriptors of salvation are interposed throughout the remainder of the book. But let's focus our attention just on verses 12 through 14. And as you read just these few verses, you come face to face with the action verbs and ideas Paul uses about giving thanks that all talk about the what of thanksgiving. He says, you give thanks because God has qualified you to share in the inheritance. This word, qualified, is used only here in Scripture and again in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 6. It means that God alone has merited us the favor to approach Him. Aren't you thankful that right now, no matter your circumstance, you can boldly come before the throne of heaven? Aren't you thankful that no matter what the burden is that you are carrying, no matter the situation you may be in, no matter the turmoil of the world around you, you have been merited the favor by God to come before Him. You have been qualified to share in this inheritance. You can give thanks for that. Give thanks because God has rescued you from the dominion of darkness. Rescue involves giving aid to someone in danger. Salvation is not a helping hand. Salvation is a saving hand. God has pulled you out of the dominion of darkness. You were once lost in the woes of sin, helpless and hopeless, and God rescued you. He pulled you out. This was not a helpful hand. This was a saving hand. You are forever changed. Give thanks because God has now rescued you from the darkness and brought you into the kingdom of light. This is talking about a transfer of citizenship. It's not a gradual evolution, but an abrupt event. When you get saved, you didn't just begin to get placed on this treadmill where you eventually will come into the kingdom of light. No, when you got saved, you immediately went from the dominion of darkness into the kingdom of light. Give thanks because God has given to you redemption. Originally, the word meant redemption means to buy back. Here it means to rescue from captivity, specifically the release from your captivity of sin. You are no longer held captive by the bondage of sin. And give thanks because God has granted the forgiveness of sins. This is free and complete pardon from God. Now, folks, these are some power-packed words that Paul is using. And Paul is using these power-packed words intentionally as a motivation for giving thanks. It is wonderful to see a newborn Christian who wants to share his faith with everybody. You ever been in a situation like that? Someone just got saved, and they are so excited. They cannot help but share it with everybody. Several months ago, our church was moved by the testimony of San Fan, who accepted Christ as his Savior and was so moved to come into the waters of baptism here in our congregation and share his testimony. And it was incredible to observe. It was a testimony and a sermon in and of itself because the joy was written all over his face. He just wanted to share it with everybody because God changed his life. Have you noticed that part of what was so moving about that testimony and others like Sands is that there's a part in our heart that says, I wish I still had that. Whatever joy San had was overflowing. It was just a natural expression. And we are sitting there as believers and we are observing that and we're thinking, wow. David prayed in Psalm 51. And David prayed that as he matured in Christ, that joy he had at that first moment would never go away. And he said, Lord, restore to me the joy of my salvation. A Christian who has forgotten the bad shape he was in before salvation will often lose his worship. It's the gravity of how bad our situation was that makes our salvation so great. If a person saves you from making a mistake on your taxes, that's great. But if they save your life, that's way greater. Many have lost the joy of their salvation because they have forgotten just how much God has done for them. And King David prayed, restore to me the joy of my salvation. Many of us have lost that. We don't worship God anymore about it. Maybe part of it is because we've taken our gaze off the benefits of our salvation. You and I deserve to be in hell right now. If you don't believe that, you don't believe the Bible. Of course, human pride and carnality bristles at that notion, but that doesn't make it any less true. My sins deserve to plunge me to hell. How great then is the rescue and redemption that God has given? Is this not worth thankfulness? When you truly understand the depth, love that God has gifted you through His Son, the only natural expression you have is to give thanks. When it comes to the matter of giving thanks, Americans can be thankful for the lessons passed down to us from our forefathers. Few Americans have had more setbacks than the pilgrims, who made 7 times more graves than they did huts. Yet they still set aside a day for giving thanks. Governor William Bradford wrote concerning their faith. He said, God gave them health and strength in a good measure and showed them by experience the truth of the words in Deuteronomy 8:3, that man liveth not by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth a man live. Did you know that in 1789, George Washington made a public proclamation, and our first president said, it is the duty of all nations to acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and to humbly implore His protection and favor. And on that day, he recommended and assigned Thursday, November 26, 1789, to be a day of thanksgiving. Of course, we're familiar with that story. We're used to it. And this isn't November. And so you're saying, Pastor Caleb, this isn't Thanksgiving month. Why are we talking about Thanksgiving? Here's why. You don't need a proclamation from a president to tell you to be thankful. All you need to know is to remember what God has already done for you. The songs of the saints in the Old and the New Testament are all songs of thanksgiving. Psalm 100 would say in verse 3, know ye that the Lord is good. It is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. What then is our response, David? Verse 4 of Psalm 100. I can only enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It's not a matter of setting aside a date on a calendar. It's a matter of obedience. Do I offer thanksgiving for the benefits I have because I am in Christ? And it's a question we are forced to ask ourselves in Colossians. Why should I give thanks? I give thanks because God doesn't need anything from us, but because He expects us to obey. Who should I give thanks? Thanksgiving requires an object, and that object is the Almighty God. How should I give thanks? May we only express thanksgiving as we ought. May we express thanksgiving with deep joy. And what should I give thanks? When you truly understand the depth of the love gifted you from God, you will express true thanksgiving with joy. So we've wrestled with giving thanks. But there are some watching now that say, Pastor Caleb, I don't know if I have much to give thanks for right now. I've never accepted Christ as my personal Lord and Savior. For this you can give thanks. Today is the day of your salvation. There's no longer a need for delay. It's been outlined for you here. Paul says these are the benefits that will become yours as you come into the family of God. I have already declared very boldly in your presence here to tell you that you deserve hell. But now I can tell you that God has gifted you heaven. And if you would come to Christ, maybe for you, this will be the greatest day of thanksgiving you've ever experienced. Would you, if that is your situation, even right now perhaps, take it upon yourselves to message us. Use our Facebook Messenger if you can. Message us. We would love to show you from God's Word how you can know for sure you have a home in heaven. There may be others in your room watching. And you say, Pastor Caleb, the moments and the trials of today have caused me such travail that I've become almost sunken in despair. These are difficult times. I'll admit that. These are strange times. Honestly, I don't know how much longer I can go on like this. I just want things to get back to normal just like you do. But boy, we have so much to give thanks for. Instead of bemoaning the difficulties of the day and choosing to spend your afternoon watching the pessimism of the news shows, perhaps you could take this afternoon and just give thanks joyfully. Just say, God, you did so much for me by offering me salvation. Lord, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Giving thanks is just as essential to the Christian walk as air is to the breathe in the physical walk. Would you be one who is marked by giving thanks? Would you pray with me as we close? Lord, we thank you so much for all that has been outlined for us in the book of Colossians now. Lord, there is an overwhelming wordage used here by Paul. He lists so many things. Lord, we are not people that are naturally bent towards thanksgiving. Instead, we are naturally bent towards complaining, criticisms, and pessimism. Yet, Lord, you have gifted us so much to be thankful for. With every head bowed and eyes closed, perhaps wherever you're at, I want you to continue the prayer I just began. My desire is that this would be a time of invitation. Naturally, the invitation for you may be different than it is for me because of the situation you are in. I don't know what your living room looks like, but I do know that God can hear your prayers. And so in a moment, we're going to be closing our video out. But as we close our video out, our invitation, I trust, your invitation, is not closing. I pray that you would take the moments that you have now to reflect in your own heart and soul and say, God, speak to me. Convict me if need be, that I may be a person marked by giving thanks.